You will definitely need your the notes today. There's a outline on the back of the bulletin. There's also a prayer request and visitor's card there that I think some of us, if we may forget about it, but from time to time. But you can write your any prayer request that you might have there. And also, if you are visiting with us, then you can put that there also, any information there. So we're in Romans, and we once again, we've paused. We've got to Romans chapter 8, and this is not that I don't trust you to do the homework on your own. Okay, maybe it is. But what you have on the back of the bulletin is the homework from last week. And the guys actually went over this on Friday morning, and the ladies went over this on Wednesday night. So I tried to leave it behind, but here we are. We're still there. So this is not really, this is sort of a worksheet, and we're going to do it together. So it's not really a message. We're just going to go through this. And so what I'd like you to do, no better time than the present, for us to look at the verses and for you personally to assess where you stand with God, what's going on with you in your walk with the Lord. Because if we leave this behind, you know, we can understand. And these truths of Romans, we've repeated these themes so often. This idea of faith alone in Christ alone by grace alone. This idea of our sin is paid for by the blood. And our old nature is dealt with by the cross. That this is the answer. And so if I never speak to you again, if I never have another opportunity to speak to you again, if there's something that could change your life, obviously, it's the truths I just mentioned. It's that you would have put your faith in the substitutional death of Christ. That you would have come to a place where you acknowledge that you are separated from God by your sin. And that you have trusted in Christ's payment for your sin. That He died in your place. That like Abraham offering Isaac on the altar, and that as Isaac looked over and he saw that ram, and surely on his mind, if it didn't come out of his lips, was, "Daddy, let that ram die in my place." And there was a death on the mountain that day, but it wasn't Isaac. It was the ram, the substitute, who died in his place. So here comes God's wrath, and if you've never come to the place of recognizing that God's wrath is coming down on you because of your sin, then that doesn't change the situation. God's wrath is still coming down on you because of your sin. Unless you said, "Let Him take it. Let Him take it." Unless Jesus is your substitute. So, these things in Romans are absolutely vital. Absolutely vital to our life, to our eternal life. But then it goes on, it goes further, it goes deeper. And that would be enough, you would think. But it goes on to tell us about this union that we have with Christ. That we are identified with Him. We have new life. In Romans chapter 6, we have resurrection life. But there's a problem in living out this resurrection life. There's a problem in living out the Christ life. And Christ's life being seen in us. And even though we may have put our trust in Christ, do we daily die to self? Are we holding something back? Are we resisting God? You see, this ongoing fellowship, union with Him, is dependent upon this. That we're holding nothing back from God. That we are daily relying on Him. Jesus said, "Take up your cross daily." So that's really what we're going to deal with this morning. This practical element, because we're going to go on and talk about, and that's what we were supposed to talk about today a little more, of how do we live then? How do we live? But If we don't get this, then we miss the boat. And we could do all sorts of things as a church. We could accomplish great things. We could build orphanages. We could start churches. We could feed the poor and all those things. I would like to do those things. I really would. But if we don't get this part, then we're not going to live a life of eternal value. So this is where we are. And what might God do with us if each of us would really live like this? Really live like this. So let's go through this. On the back of your bulletin there, and I mentioned last week that you may recognize those words. I stole those words from Martin Luther King Jr., free, free, free at last. And as important as that freedom was, this freedom is of eternal nature. So, this will set you free. It'll set you, we'll talk about this as we move through. You will experience freedom if you go through this. If you really apply these truths. So, Romans 7, 18. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. And then it goes on later to say, oh, what a wretched man that I am. And, you know, in so many ways, this is similar to salvation. You know, to come to a place of where you recognize that you are separated from God, and that you have a relationship that needs to be reconciled to God. This, in a way, this is similar to that. In that, have you been brought by the Holy Spirit to utter despair of yourself? You know, it's a sad thing. I don't think it necessarily has to be like this. But in the reality of life, it seems to be like this. That we sort of have to come to a place of failure to really believe this. To come to a place of utter despair, that we're ready to acknowledge that we can't live this life that we're called to live. That we can't love our neighbors. We can't love our spouse. We can't have peace. Not really. Not the kind of peace and joy that we know the Bible talks about. But do we have that? Until we come to this place of knowing deeply that no good thing lives in us. That we can't do it. This is the way we're built. We just tend to have to fail and fail and fail to really believe that this is true. So, which time of failure will you really acknowledge to God? That's what it comes down to. Now, in simple faith, I hope that we will look to the cross once again. And see that the Deliverer, our Savior, did carry us in Himself to His cross as well as our sins. Romans 6:3. So what this means is, you know that feeling, right? Anxiousness, ambition. I'm not talking about the good kind of ambition, but there's a bad kind of ambition where you are striving. And you're not at peace. And you want to do this thing right. You want to get it perfect. And you can't. Or there's that anxiousness of, I'm worthless, I can't do anything. That failure where you've seen that you can't do it, and now you're wallowing in it. There's a couple of different places we can get to. Well, that is your flesh. You have to come to this place where you recognize that I've been operating and walking in the old nature. You know the old nature, the Adam nature. That thing that wants to go its own way, do what it wants to do, that we all can identify with. We have to recognize if we have been walking in the flesh, in the old nature. And when we do, then we can deal with this. Then we can deal with this. And we can really believe that Romans 6:3 is true. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were identified into His death. And then the verse we will go to often is Galatians 2:20, which is a summary of Romans. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, then Christ died for nothing. And we know Romans goes into great detail about the law, and the law has no power to save us. The law has power to convict us of our sin, to let us know that we are sinners. And this piece of this, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There is such a great relief when we come to the place of, okay, this anxiousness, this unsettledness. Jesus dealt with that. He dealt with that. Will I, by faith, receive that? Because that has no power over me. That has no power over me. I can have peace. I can have joy. I can love. I can fulfill the law through faith. So, part two there. We take our place with him on the cross. You see, this is not enough to intellectually learn these truths. I've said this over and over. But it's not enough to learn these truths. We have to, and this is the reason, this is the motivation behind giving you homework, is that you will, as we sit here together, that the Holy Spirit will convict you. You will have gain an understanding of how it works. And then you will turn to God. That you really will deal with these things. That it won't just be something, another topic that we've studied, but you will honestly deal with these things. You will turn to God and acknowledge that the flesh is in control. You will, by faith, take your place with him on the cross. You see, there's a relief to doing that. There is a relief to finally acknowledging that and being identified with that. And say that by the choice of our will, we have died with him. Colossians 3:3. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And then, also back to Galatians 2:20, we won't read that again. Are you bearing the fruit of Christ in your life? Do you think that you're not because you're not trying hard enough? Do you think that you're not because you're not educated enough? Do you think that you're not because of your past? Or because you're too, just don't have the self-control or the discipline? If you are a believer, if you have the Holy Spirit living in you, then we are not because we're not believing it. We believe that we died and our life is now hidden with Christ in God. Then, I've got some bad news for you too, okay? That really is good news. I know it's a heavyweight truth, but it's good news because there's an answer. There's an answer to that situation, to that unrest, to that anxiousness, to the bitterness, to the self-focus. There's an answer to that. And when you will acknowledge that there is a problem. I've got this problem. I've got this flesh issue. When you will really acknowledge that, and then you acknowledge, you know, and that's where I've been. That's where I've been. I've been walking like that. Or I've been like that way too much. When you acknowledge that to God, you see, that is a repenting. That is a turning to God and saying, this is me. This is the way I've been. There's a relief. That is the freedom. The point of freedom for you is when you acknowledge that and you know there's nothing you can do about it, but by faith you believe that that has been identified with the cross, no longer has any power over you. You, by faith, you believe that. There's a relief to that. That you don't have to do this in your own strength. There's a relief to that. Now, the bad news is, tomorrow, you may have the same battle. You may have the same battle tomorrow. But here's how we deal with that. Is number three. On your outline there. Then day by day, as any trace You see, even if we deal with it for all we know in our mind, still there may be something we weren't aware of. So day by day, as any trace of the old natural life is revealed, yield it to the cross and reckon it crucified with Him. You see, now not only do we have an answer for right now, we have an answer for tomorrow. We have an answer for tomorrow. When you get up tomorrow and you face the same thing and you're responding in the same way, there is an answer for that too. Because as soon as you see it coming, then you can, I reckon it to be true, that I am dead to sin, because that is sin, that's the sin nature. That's exactly what Romans 6:11 is talking about. I reckon it to be true, I am dead to sin. I do not have to succumb to that. I'm dead to that. I'm alive to Christ. I have the Christ life in me by the Holy Spirit. And by faith, I will live that life. Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. Now this is not saying that you will lose your salvation. And these verses often will speak to both the non-believer, the one that has never known Christ, and at the same time will be speaking to the believer. But if you do not live by the Spirit, you will not have sweet fellowship with God. You will not, if you do not live the way we're describing, you will miss out on this. There will be a separation in a sense of with the relationship between you and God. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Day by day, as you see, we can deal with this today, and I hope we do. I hope that we do. Tomorrow, you're going to say, what happened? I dealt with that yesterday. Well, there's still the seeds of the flesh there that will not be gone until we enter eternity. And that is dealt with. So, it has no power over us, but we still have to deal with that by faith. It feels like it has power over us. It feels awfully alive, but it has been identified with the cross. And that is where the faith part comes in. We count on living Christ, the living Christ in us, to manifest His life continually. So, this is not that I have to, at 2 o'clock, I'm going, oh, I got to think about this. Got to keep on. No, we trust Him for that too. We trust Him that His life will be manifest in us. That the Christ life will be seen in us by faith. If we quietly rest on the Word of God, it says, for He died. For you died. In Colossians 3:3. And claim the severing power of the death of Christ over every appearance of the old Adam life, or old bonds of sin, the Holy Spirit will put to death the old nature and its fruit, and we will walk in the freedom Christ has purchased for us. And this is the only way that we will be able to live the Christ life, is believing that old Adam life has been severed by the cross, put to death. We don't have to succumb. You know, when that thing is coming over you, now, sometimes it's more apparent than others. Sometimes we are, the sky is blue and things are fine. And so we are in a good mood. Just because we're in a good mood doesn't mean we're operating the Christ life. People in the world can be in a good mood. They can be happy, jovial, pleasant to be around people. But when something happens, then it just reveals what is there. So you know that anxious, overwhelming feeling that's overtaking you. It could be anger. It could be lust. It could be just selfish, inward focus. But when we see that coming, even if we've been living the Christ life, it still can come on us. We see that coming. We are aware. And we know we need to recognize what that is. That is the old nature. That is the Adam life. You see, if we are going to be of any use to God, and I'm not talking about the appearances of use, but if we are going to quietly even humbly reveal Christ to those around us, then this is the only way. This is the only way. It's by faith, and Christ must be seen in us. It's not by great things that we accomplish, but is Christ seen in us? Are we bearing the fruit of the Spirit, or are we bearing the fruit of the flesh? So we learn to recognize the signs and we deal with that. We yield to the cross and we say, no, no, I reckon to be true. I'm dead to sin. I was identified with Jesus on the cross. That old flesh has no power over me by faith. I believe God here. I believe Him. Doesn't feel like it, but I believe Him. So, consider these things as we take these things to God, as you take these things to God. So, even though we're going over this together, and maybe you've already gone over it on Friday morning or Wednesday night, I would encourage you to get along, because this is built. You cannot just take this. This is built on what we've already studied. It's built on Romans chapters 1 through 7. That's what this is built on. And it's built on the things we've already talked about. The surrender sheet. You can get that online. You go through that. This is a precursor to this. It helps you understand more deeply what we're talking about. The Presenting Christ article. The homework from the next message is that these, I really believe that this is something we must deal with, not just in a one-time thing. We gain a deep understanding that we can come back to over and over again. Because if you're going to be effective, if you could be called to go to seminary, you can go to the mission field, you can start doing great things for God. It all comes back to this, though. It all comes back to this. Are you going to operate in your flesh? Or are you going to operate in the Spirit today? What are you going to do? What fruit are you going to bear? Is it going to be the life of Christ that's seen in you? Or is it going to be self? So consider these things. The Lord has never promised that we shall be able to look within and say to our own satisfaction, self is gone. As we reckon these things to be true, others will see the life of Christ in us. Now we can have peace. We certainly can experience those things. But it's not that we can say, oh, there's never a struggle going on in me. You never get to this high level of spiritual attainment where you can say, there's no longer, there's no self in me at all. I'm just, all I see is Jesus. This is not the kind of self introspection. It's that we continue to reckon it to be true today that I'm dead to sin. But what happens is over time, as we every day, we put our trust in Christ. Every day we reckon to be true. What happens is that Christ life grows stronger in us and we begin to produce Canaan-land fruit and people see Christ in us. And there's evidence that other people see. It's not this thing of looking within ourselves. There's no need, part number two there, there's no need to make an effort to abide if we count on the Holy Spirit to keep us abiding unconsciously. So we've talked about this many times. If we head out of here, we go, you drive to the Village Inn and get breakfast. You sit down, you're eating your pancakes, you're halfway through your omelet, and you go, ugh, I forgot to abide. Well, that's not how it works. You've trusted Him. You're still abiding unless there's some sin that has been committed. Unless you have chosen your own way apart from God. You don't have to, it's not a constant. Then it becomes the things of works. I'm going to abide by works. Well, that really doesn't make any sense at all. That's a contradiction. I'm counting on Him. Counting on Him to do this. To keep me connected. If we began to focus, number three there, if we began to focus too much on the question, have I died with Christ or have I not? He has to wait again until He can get us to look away from ourselves and rest on the Word again. This is not an over and over super, I've seen people do this. Introspection until they're so wrapped up with self you can't even get through to talk about faith. It's an outward focus on Christ. It's a dependence upon Him, not ourselves. That's a relief. That should be a relief to you. And number four, get ready for the fight of your life. You know, there's already a war going on inside of you. We talked about that, right? It's smoke and mirrors. It's the 9-year-old girl in the sumo suit. We talked about that. That it's awful convincing. Looks awful big. Looks awful powerful. But the flesh no longer has power over us. The flesh has been separated, put to death. But there's an enemy that has not been put to death. He still is around. Now, he has been defeated at the cross in reality. But there's going to be a fight. There's going to be a fight. You see, you know, no matter what, I don't think the enemy wants you in church. No matter what, he doesn't want you involved in the things of God. No matter what, but he doesn't fight as much on those things as he does right here. Right here. You see, he's in a sense, he sees things, he's not that worried about appearances. So what if you have this, if you're a part of all this great discipleship program and you're involved, and you're going to Bible studies and you're doing all this stuff. Now that's not Satan's ideal place for you. But if you're there, but you're still living in the flesh and you have the appearance of doing all these good things, he's not going to take that much time with you. But you start to go here. You've got a whole new fight on your hands. You really do. This is spiritual battle here. Because he doesn't want a bunch of little Christ running around. He really does not want that. He doesn't want that. You in your weakness, overflowing the character and the nature of Christ, you being able to love like Jesus, you being able to forgive when you're offended, you with the passion for the lost that Jesus has? Oh, I'd much rather just be living your little Christian life and going to work and being good. He would much rather that than you being ate up with the passion of Jesus. He does not want that. He fears you even though you have no ability. Even though you are not that smart. You don't have that much talent. He fears you because he fears Jesus. He's not afraid of the most intelligent PhD, seminary trained, whoever. He's not intimidated. But let little old you walk around revealing Jesus to the world and you got a fight on your hands. So get ready to trust him if you're going to go here. There's no other place to be. There's no other joy in the Christian life than this. If you're not going to have sweet fellowship and union with Christ, then why bother? Why bother? But there is a fight. There is a fight. But you win it by faith. By faith. There is an adversary. He will dispute every inch of ground. But we have victory in the cross. We have victory in the resurrection life. It is vain, though. You see, I've known people that have experienced the Christ life that have know what it's like to have real fellowship with God, peace with God, be able to read the Word and it just come alive off the page, be able to have real joy in service. Known people to experience that. And then they have something, they grab something of themselves that they hang on to. And they want to hang on to that. They remember what it was like and they still want to have all this other stuff. You know what I mean? They still want to have that. Because there's nothing like fellowship among believers is real. You know, the world wants that. And if you've ever had it, you want it again. But if you still want to hang on to something of yourself, then you remember what it was like. You want that joy, but you still want this thing. But you want that joy that you used to have. So you still go to Starbucks and you still open up your Bible and you still talk about Jesus and you still run around your Christian circles. But there's no life in it. Not really. Not really. Because you're hanging on to that thing of the self-life. You're that one thing that you're not willing to give up. That thing of yourself. And if you retain one single thing that ministers as a self-life, then it's vain to ask God to free you from the self-life. It is of no avail if you hang. We got to take it to the cross. Jesus had some hard words, didn't he? Take up your cross daily and follow me. People turned away at those words. And they turn away at those words today. Even in the church, they turn away at those words. I think it's this sort of talk that made Jesus the most enemies. This sort of thinking. that made people. You know, people hated Jesus. How do you hate somebody walking around doing good, preaching, healing the sick, loving his enemy? How do you hate someone like that? Well, there were plenty of people who hated Jesus. And maybe you've experienced that yourself. When someone has had an irrational hate towards you, and you go, wow, that's what Jesus experienced. Irrational. But if we want the kind of freedom that we're talking about, it is vain to retain one single thing that ministers to the self-life. So now you see what I'm talking about when I say we've got to go back to that tool of the surrender sheet. That offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Will you give up yourself entirely to God? An honest desire to let Christ entirely possess us, and a practical committing to the cross, all that is revealed will bring full deliverance. We want full deliverance. I think everybody wants that. We all have this certain awareness of this prison that we're in, even by our own desires. We want freedom, but we're not willing to go to the cross. We're not willing to pay the price for the freedom that He offers. Let us trust Him to do His work while we yield to His dealing. Trust Him implicitly and obey promptly. You see, there's a place of obedience in this. We haven't talked that much about obedience. But there's a place of obedience. Obedience has its role in abiding. You know, when we're walking that path, have y'all been, if you're a believer, you've been on the path. At some time, if you haven't been on the path, you're not a believer. At some point, you've been on the path. You've been spirit controlled. You've yielded yourself to God. Now, you know, you take that step off the path, and you know there's a conviction there. You know there's a conviction. Well, there's this responsibility. We have to deal with that immediately, to obey, to deal with that. There's also this thing of God instructing us to do something, take action, and we refuse. Then something happens to the abiding. There's obedience as its place in abiding. If you obey, if you love me, you will obey me, Jesus said. So we've studied this thoroughly. We know we do not earn our fellowship with God through obedience. We know that. But obedience has a strong role in our abiding. So when He tells us don't do something or do something, we need to respond to Him. You know, you take that first step off the path, and it's sort of like, it's back to Adam and Eve, the first sin, where it's like, oh, I feel uneasy. Oh, God, I don't want to be there. But I kind of want to pursue this thing another step, okay, God? I'll get back to you in just a minute. But I want to take one more step. I want to investigate this thing a little bit more. I won't give my whole self to it. I just want to investigate. So you take another step off the path. But you know what? The third step is way easier than that second step. And the fourth step means I'm probably not going to be back for a while. And the fifth step, it's going to take the disciplined hand of God to bring you back. It's going to require a trial. And God will do it. He promises. He promises. If you're His child, you will see the chastening hand of God. You take very many steps off, and you're numb to the Holy Spirit, and it happens. It happens. You are numb to the Holy Spirit, and you look great in church, and your family's together, and things are sailing along. You're fine. But you know you don't have peace. You know you don't have passion for God. You know you've lost the passion and the love for the lost. Oh, you would share the gospel if the door opens wide. And you, of course, yeah, you would do that. But you're not ate up with Jesus thinking, with His love, and willing to lay down your life for the lost. And He'll deal with that too. He'll deal with that. He'll get your attention. So each step you take off, every day you spend not abiding, You know my little saying I have? Y'all know my saying? I hesitate to use it. I don't want to. I'm not trying to do the guilt thing. You know, if somebody, let's say you're having a Firm Foundations Bible study, I'll use that. You have a Firm Foundations Bible study, you know what I always say? If you miss one, you're going to miss two. If you miss two, you're going to miss five. There's this thing, this truth. It's like, when you go off here, that first step is painful. If you deal with it quick, you'll be back. You don't have to wait. Sometimes we have this old thinking, oh, I sinned. Now I'm going to beat myself up for 3 days and then I'll come back. No, what do you mean beat yourself? Jesus took all those beatings for you. You don't have to beat yourself up. He took all those beatings for you. All you got to do is say, I sinned. I stepped off, God. You're back. But we get numb. We do get numb. We get numb. We get off. We stay off. We end up wasting our life. We spend most of our time off the trail. We end up wasting a life that could have been used for eternal good and then bountiful fruit. But we waste it. Because we're not willing to go here to the cross. To the cross. So I would encourage you. I know it's early for me, but I would encourage you to take these things, take some time with this. Take some time with it. Go back. I've given you tools. The tools are online. You can find them. Surrender sheet, presenting Christ, free at last, this homework here. This is not at all about me and you. Much as I love you, this is not about me and you. You know, sometimes and this is one of my issues, is I'll put on myself if you're not giving yourself to God fully, and then I'll end up going off the trail because of that. Carrying the load I was never meant to carry. Because it's Jesus, it's His responsibility, not mine. So as much as I love you, this is not between you and me. Just not. It's between you and God. I'd like to hear about it. But it's between you and God. You got it. It's not between you and your husband, you and your wife, you and your kids. None of that. So yeah, tell me about it after it's over, but you got to take this to God. This is between you and Him. There's no showboating. You got to take it to God. You and Him. Get along with God. He'll take us places we never dreamed. Glorious places.